Hello and welcome to another edition of Admit One, the film podcast that delves into the cinema viewing habits of film fanatics from across the arts.
At one point I know my mum had to take me out of the cinema because I was crying too loudly.
Today's film lover is TV and radio broadcaster, dog owner, pottery thrower and lovely lady.
It's great to see women in these big roles, these big exciting kick-ass roles.
Sarah Cox, welcome to Admit One.
Thank you very much, Antonia. So if there's any ruffles in the background, it will be the aforementioned dog who's currently snoozing on my puffer coat on the floor.
I'm quite jealous. He looks really happy. It's a small little studio and he's all nuzzled and wrapped in your puffer.
He actually looks slightly stuffed the way he's just so still lay there, doesn't he?
He does look very still. Sarah, thank you so much for coming in today and just chatting to me about films that you love. And may I say, I think it is the best lineup we've had so far.
But you say that to all.
I bet you say that to all the girls.
You know what? I love film and I love going to the cinema and I love it. You know, I'm there a lot, but because I've got three kids, I'm there a lot watching kids' movies. So for me to think about movies that I love, it's hard for there not to be some sort of contamination from the children because I've watched a lot of kids. Like, I love Brave, you know, we've got booming heroine in Brave. Merida, you got the marry for love. You know, so for me to be able to talk about films that I love is really nice. It's nice when you go to those posh cinemas now where you can sit and they'll bring you a nice coffee and you sit in a big comfy chair.
Brownie, glass of wine.
Yes, date night, you know. So it's, you know, I do love films. So it was nice to be able to come in and chat to you about it.
We were talking about your choices and how they changed from your first three. There are films that you love, like Reservoir Dogs and Goodfellas.
Yeah.
But, like you said, having kids, it does change the films that you can watch at home and at the cinema.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't pop on Reservoir Dogs after school. Just not on.
It's just not
like,
appropriate.
Where's my dinner, mother? Kids, come on. Don't pick up the lingo. Yeah, that True Romance I used to really love as well. But I also feel always slightly pressured when I have to talk about films because, you know, I mean, sure, I've seen Shawshank Redemption and I've seen Clockwork Orange, but they ain't my favourite films. For me, I always get Cockney. They ain't my favourite films. My favourite films are the ones where when you're just getting into bed and it's like, let's pretend I'm rock and roll and it's like 20 past 11 at night. For me, that'd be like so late. And I'm ready to go to sleep, but a film has just started that I love. And for me, a favourite film is no matter what time it is, you will just stop what you're doing and you will just watch it and you won't go to bed till you've watched it. You have to watch it.
And it makes you feel good and it's like spending time with friends. It's company.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, have we revealed what my films are?
We haven't yet. We are going to come to that. Sarah, do you remember the first film you saw?
Oh, now then, I think it was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at the cinema, but not when it was released, because wasn't it released? Isn't that made in like 1942 or something?
Like, Sarah Cox, you look amazing for your age.
It was during the war. I'm sure I saw it at the cinema though, because I know there was always a pattern where whatever baddie was on screen, at one point I know my mum had to take me out of the cinema because I was crying too loudly and I was too terrified. And I think that was from the baddie queen in Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, but they must have shown it throughout the, this would have been the late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. when I would have been sort of six or seven or something, I think. That's a big memory for me. E.T., again, I couldn't stop crying for a good 20 minutes after, until I got told off. And it seemed harsh at the time. And now I'm like, you know what? Now I've got kids, I'd just be like, shut up. Like
that. Shut up. Stay where you are. Finish your popcorn.
Yes, I was just hysterical, just couldn't stop crying. I also went to Get Burgers and we watched Ghostbusters for my 10th birthday. Which is actually a film, if it is on, I'll watch it now. And the kids watch the original Ghostbusters a lot. Although, despite it not being hugely popular, I do love the all-female Ghostbusters. I know that's controversial, but my 12-year-old girl loves it. I think it's great to see women in these big roles, these big, exciting, kick-ass roles, without getting too like, oh, there was 15 of us and we lived in a crisp packet in the middle of the street. We were that poor. But, you know, in those days, like, when I was little, going to the cinema was was a big deal. I mean, now me and the kids, you know, whatever, we'll pop and watch Moana last week, which I actually really liked. Go and watch Trolls. Go and watch, you know, because it's just something to do, on a, not even on a rainy day, just something to do, just to take up a bit of time. But for me, when I was little, it was a huge treat, and it was
like an occasion.
It was a huge occasion, same as eating out. So, you know, you knew it was your birthday. If you were eating out and you were going to the cinema, big deal.
How did you first get into presenting?
So I'd been a moderately successful model slash barmaid for a couple of years after my A-levels. And there was a casting in Manchester for a late night highbrow political discussion show called The Girly Show. If you've not seen it, don't Google it. It was about politics. And I got the gig presenting on that. And it was from a modelling casting. So they were obviously after sort of like hardcore interviewers because they went from model agencies. I nearly didn't go to the blooming casting because I was skint, and luckily my mum gave me a couple of quid just to get me out of the couch and away from watching Neighbours. So I went in and I eventually found myself as one of the hosts of The Girly Show, and then did lots on MTV. I would say honed my skills, but that might be a slight exaggeration. So that's where it started, and that was when I was like 20, 21, so like 20 years ago.
I remember you being on The Big Breakfast, and you did the On the Bed slot.
Yeah, I did a bit of that.
I
did a bit in the caravan.
A bit in the caravan. Do you have any highlights? I mean, that was such a morning institution, that show. The Big Breakfast pulled in all the punters.
You know what? I interviewed David Bowie in a teepee.
No.
And he was really nice. And I was really nervous because although I didn't have any of his albums, if I'm really honest, I just knew, you know, with some people, it's just in your bones that you know that they're a legend and that it's a big deal. And so I was really nervous. And he was so lovely. I think he had a book out. So he was really kind to me. Will Smith did a movie style smooch on me on the bed, like how they move towards each other.
Yes.
And he did that to me on The Big Breakfast.
Was there proper kind of...
No,
locking lips, or was it just like cheek to cheek? How does that work?
He stopped a millimetre from me.
Oh, no.
But he knew
what he was
doing. I
bet he smelt good.
Yeah, I mean, there was like a sort of force field of like...
Hollywood fog.
Yes. but then he backed off quite rightly because it would have been inappropriate, to be fair. To
for like quarter to seven in the morning, you snogging Will
Smith.
That
was good. He's always good value.
We've talked about on Admit One, people meeting their idols. You mentioned Will Smith, David Bowie. Would you say that's true, that you should never meet them?
Well, it depends on how it turns out, really. I did interview Drew Barrymore and she was hungover. And I was so excited about meeting her because I thought, oh my God, like me, her and Cameron Diaz are going to be snapped by the paparazzi on the beach surfing this time next year because we're going to become best friends.
Yeah.
And she,
I mean, what a girl gang.
She wasn't really very nice to me and she was hungover. And because I was excited and thought we'd be best friends, I didn't really handle it very well. It just made me incredibly nervous. So what you do is when the stars come over to go to the premieres, they then go out afterwards and get trash, and then they get sort of dropped off at the radio the next morning having had 2 hours sleep. So sometimes
with
a little
no
bit...
anecdotes, no humour,
yeah,
no manners.
She was on lockdown, you know, and I wasn't like interrogating her or anything. I was just asking her nice questions, and I was a bit like, oh, she's kind of ruined E.T. a bit now. But then sometimes like Kate Hudson, who I was then, because I'd been burnt by Barrymore, when Hudson came in, I was completely like ready for her, like bring it on girl. And she was gorgeous and lovely and really kind and warm. I've got a massive girl crush on her. She's hilarious. She's really cool.
Yeah, so her and Goldie. And Amy Schumer as well. Those guys were on holiday recently. Don't you want to swim? Yeah, don't you want to swim out to the yacht and just be like, I promise we'll get on.
Me and you in a dinghy.
Just let me on the boat.
We bought a cheese platter and a prawn ring. We've
and
come from England.
And Bino's the dog's his as well.
Oh, it'd be so nice. Yeah, I've met some who are brill and some who aren't so brill. But to be fair, a lot of them have been very charming.
Sarah, so you present Sounds of the 80s on Radio 2. Do you love 80s films as much as 80s music?
Well, the last song that I played when I finished the Radio 1 breakfast show was Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. Now I...
That must have made you have a bit of a cry.
Yeah, it was really sweet, actually. Yeah. It was nice. It was, so, you know, they go hand in hand, and we definitely do get to play quite a few sort of film tracks, some more obscure ones. But I do love an 80s film, and Dirty Dancing is definitely one of them because I'm now introducing my daughter to the films that I loved. And it's a bit like, there are some quite adult themes, you know, because the dancer's pregnant and stuff in Dirty Dancing, but she's 12, so it's fine. My daughter can kind of handle that. And we went to see the stage play recently of Dirty Dancing, which was just brilliant.
What's it like?
It might not have been as slick as like some of the big West End productions, but it had real heart to it. And because it follows exactly the film, it's like watching the real life film. And people are like just holding their breath for the big lines of the I carried a watermelon and nobody puts baby in the corner. I'm getting goosebumps now. And it was so nice when those, and I went with my daughter. So it was really, really special. It was really cool. So I definitely recommend that.
Well, that segues us perfectly into your three favourite films.
Yes.
Do you remember the impact Dirty Dancing had on you when you first watched it? Because you mentioned that it has some adult themes.
Yes.
I mean, Swayze gets topless and it gets pretty steamy. Do you remember how that kind of made you feel? Because it is, you know, quite a hot film, I guess.
Yeah, it does have some fruity moments.
Fruity's better.
Definitely.
Better than hot.
A bit fruity. Yeah, I mean, I just absolutely loved it. I thought Patrick Swayze was a great actor, and he was just, it's just such a shame we lost him so soon. It was really sad because I think he would have gone on to keep making films. I loved him in it, and I think the character of Baby was just great, and all the raunchy dancing. I mean, I just thought the whole sort of package with the music as well, just absolutely loved it. And like the unfairness of it, where like the waiter guy was the one who'd got her pregnant. And oh, plot spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Also, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
What's going on? And because I was always a bit of a daddy's girl myself, the relationship with Baby and with her dad, where he's so proud and then he's just kind of, is this what my money paid for? Where he's just disappointed and you're just like, and it was a film that I just watched again and again and again. I think it was around the time where it would have been out on VHS, and I probably got it for Christmas, and I probably just watched it to death.
Watching it with your daughter, do you feel that it stood the test of time?
Well, sometimes, to be fair, I'm a bit like, is she loving it because she knows that I love it and we're having a mum and daughter moment? But I think it does stand the test of time. I think she really liked it. I mean, I made her watch Lost Boys as well, which she actually really did like. And that, you know, I'm called Star. I mean, I love Lost Boys. I used to be obsessed over that.
It starts 80s and then it just goes kind of like unbelievably radically retro, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah!
And because of the whole vampire thing, you know, got kind of big over the last decade or so, I thought that Lola would be quite into that. So she did like that, but I think with Dirty Dancing, she sees it for what it is, which is just a feel-good, slightly cheesy moments where you're like, it's just so unjust, the world's not fair. And then another moment of like, love will survive and triumph. You know, she's watched other films with her mates, like cool films, you know, like Donnie Darko and stuff, which she loves and which are great films. And so she sees this as just a bit of a guilty pleasure. Also, what we watch a lot together is Grease. So I am fuming with James King because he nabbed that one, didn't he?
Of course, you two overlap quite a lot because Donnie Darko was one of James King's top three.
Yeah.
Grease. Yeah, he stole it from
you. Good job I didn't ask for Donnie Darko as well as Grease, because I would have been waiting outside his house.
I know.
With one of those clapperboards that they use in film. That's how I would have done away with him. I would have just gone, cut, 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 like just constantly.
Okay, you, James King.
Got his face with it. But me and James go way back, and apparently he guessed another one of my choices.
He did. Your next film, when we had James King on Admit One, he said, all right, Sarah Cox is coming in. Has she picked
Pretty Woman?
I said, she bloody has. How did you know? I knew it.
You know what? We did do something on Breakfast years ago when James was always in doing all his film reviews and all that. I think we all had to pick our favourite film. We did like a screening of it with lots of listeners and that. This was years ago. I think at one point, like one of the Radio 1 bosses was like, oh, do you want to dress like Vivian with the boots on and stuff? And I was like, no, not really. I think I might have put them on like over my jeans or something, but it's getting slightly ropey territory. But yeah, Pretty Woman is one that I have not yet watched with Lola because It's just the whole prostitute thing, basically. How do you put it? I mean, it's kind of a fairy tale, but with a prostitute in it.
It is.
And there's the piano scene is quite fruity. There's the bit where she's got the variety of condoms. Great that she's a safety girl.
Yeah.
You know, it's great that she flosses.
I was gonna
with
say the
gum.
Same. Yeah, with that bit where he busts her flossing. It's like she is committed to oral hygiene, and myself and all those involved with Admit One champion that.
But you cannot
let
your 12-year-old watch it just because there's good oral hygiene, because there's different types of oral in there that aren't appropriate.
I doubt anyone listening to this has not seen Pretty Woman. Mm. But just in case, how would you describe the story of the film?
So there's this lovely prostitute.
But she's a good person.
She's got a heart of gold, but she had a tough upbringing. So anyway, Richard Gere is like a multimillionaire, but, you know, he doesn't really appreciate the small things in life, and he just worries about business and stuff, and he's not really experienced love. He's had all these demanding women who are much trickier to handle than a prostitute. And so he anyway picks her up because he wants directions, and they go to a big posh hotel, and she ends up staying, and then he ends up paying for her to stay for like a couple of weeks or something, isn't it? Is it a week maybe while he's in town doing
business?
It is
amazing. So I've never stayed in a hotel like that.
Yeah.
And the bath scene for me, I mean, yeah, as a working girl myself, and no, I'm joking, I've never stayed in a hotel like that. The bath scene blows my mind because it's like a small swimming pool.
She's singing Kiss, isn't she? In the,
I don't want your extra time and your Kiss.
So nice. It's so lovely. And she goes out shopping, and everyone listening now has sort of used the line or changed it slightly of the big mistake, huge. You know what I mean? And I pop out that line. I try and use it daily, basically, in some way.
When I'm in Topshop and I can finally afford that cardigan. Big mistake.
Remember me?
Yeah.
But it's just gorgeous. And it really is like a sort of fairy tale. And it's ridiculous. But it's just, it's got everything. And there's the bit where he goes to meet her in the bar, and she looks beautiful. And there's the bit they say, according to legend, that when she goes to reach for the necklace, she didn't know that Richard Gere was going to close the box. That wasn't in the script.
Really?
So when she jumps back and screams, and then it cuts quite quickly, it's because I'm getting goosebumps.
Oh.
Because she didn't know that was going to happen, and her reaction is just great, isn't it? Where she goes,
she's got the best laugh.
And then goes, ah, and laughs. It's really, she laughs nicer than
me. She's got that raucous, loud, sexy gasping
laugh. And I love Julia
Roberts.
I think she's a gorgeous actress to watch. I just love her face.
I love her face. I love her lips and her teeth. She's got that big kind of Hollywood wide smile. She gets me to the
cinema.
She's
brilliant. Yeah, she can do vulnerable really well. She can do funny, you know. I just think, and when she gets upset, you know,
you feel it.
You really feel it. And I just think it's a great film. That is definitely one where if I put on the telly late at night and it's on, I will have to watch it to the very end.
She'd be great in our gang. So we've got Amy Schumer, Goldie Hawn, Kate Hudson, Sarah Cox, Antonio O'Brien, Bino, and Julia Roberts.
And Drew Barrymore's not allowed in.
Oh, yeah, Drew Barrymore not invited.
I mean, unless she apologises, let's just put that in, because I'm still kind of...
Yeah, I'm sure she's mortified.
Yeah, when she listens to this, she'll be sorry. Big mistake, huge mistake.
You did it, you did your daily quota of the quote.
Yes.
Sarah, what is your third favourite film?
My third favourite film... It's a little bit, it's weird timing because we are now out of the festive period and all the decorations are down. But I've gone with Elf because it's a film that I'll always watch, but it's also the first film I put on as we're nudging into December and we want to get that slightly Christmassy feeling. But actually, to be fair, sometimes the kids will put Elf on like mid-August. I mean, Will Ferrell in this film, and I love him anyway. I love him in Talladega Nights.
Wedding Crashers, weird cameo.
Yes.
Zoolander as well, of course, so many.
And Zoolander, of course. And what are his first ones? Anchorman, of course. Absolutely love him. And that makes me laugh because sometimes I say to the team on the radio, if I'm doing breakfast, I just say, don't write that down because I will just do an Anchorman and I'll just read out what's ever on there like Anchorman does with the auto cue. And I love it because it took me like 3 goes to pass my GCSE maths. And I always look back and I think that I'd grown bigger than the other kids by the time I passed it. And I looked like Elf, like when he sat in the classroom. And no matter how many times I see, you can't really get tired of it because it will always get a little chuckle out of you. You know, when he's sitting on his popper's knee, he's just so massive. And the whole like, Santa, I know him. And it's just so lovely.
Well, as we were saying, because, you know, fair enough, you thought January, I mean, is it the time to talk about a Christmas film? Mm. And we decided, yes, it is, because it is a Four Seasons all-weather film, because it is so goddamn funny.
Yes.
I watch it with my nieces and nephews, and my nephew, Archie, especially, the snowball scene.
Yeah.
Where he is just, like, firing out these snowballs and maiming these kids, and he is clearly an adult. Oh, there's so many.
It's so good when the last kid escapes and he's like, hang on a minute. And he's like, whoom, like, takes him down, like, ah, like he's been shot. It's perfect.
Well, I just love the rumour of Will Ferrell being the method actor that he is, genuinely consumed all of the Coke and Coke floats and sweets and M&Ms in the film, so much so that he got constant migraines.
Did he really do all that?
Because you know when he's got bowls and he has a big bowl of spaghetti and then pours in the M&Ms and the chocolate syrup, you know, committing to his role as Buddy, because I think probably part of him is Buddy, he ate so much sugar, it made him sick.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, he's brilliant. He's one I'd love to interview him because he's great. He's great in interviews as well because he just gets it. He gets that people want to be entertained. He gets that he's lucky to be in that position where he's doing what he loves and making, you know, good money from it. And he just seems to have a real sort of joy at life in general. And that's what comes across as Buddy, obviously. It's just this sort of joy and just simple delight at the simple things.
It's a feel-good film. And yeah. I think, you know, 2017, I'm predicting great things for hopefully everyone, you, me, globally, the world, because 2016 was so challenging in so many ways. So by the time it got to December, watching Will Ferrell as Buddy and feeling good and feeling lucky and grateful for the people around you, I think we all needed that.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think everybody just needed a bit of feel good by December. Mm. And I think it's kind of like all three of my choices really are kind of feel good. I like to feel like all warm and fuzzy inside when I've watched a film.
So before you came on to Admit One, your homework was to pick 3 of your favourite films. But now we spring a question on you, which is, who would play you in the film of your life?
Letitia Dean, I used to always say, who was Sharon in EastEnders. So I used to say that half jokingly sort of thing. I'm such a fan of so many great actors, but they'd have to play me in my later years, which would be complicated. I love Brenda Blethyn. I don't know if that'd quite, mind you, I'm quite tired today. I could probably pass. That's such a fun question. I might just stick with Letitia Dean. Sharon from EastEnders. Mm. She's got it all. She's got the lip quiver. She's got the roots.
She's got the Mitchell history. She's got it all.
She's got it all.
Sarah Cox. Bino has been on his best behaviour. Still
so
curled up in your puffer jacket.
He did snore a minute ago, so apologies.
I heard it. Just a little one. Just a little nuzzly snore. Thank you so, so much for coming into Admit One. It has been awesome. Such a highlight to talk about your films with you and just hang out with you in general. Sarah Cox, thank you so much.
Antonio, it's been lovely. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Next week on Admit One, author and journalist Tim Walker.
I remember a lot of the lines. I can't do the whole speech, but it definitely finishes with him trying to wipe a scar off a statue of himself and saying, call off Christmas. He's the one character in it that does stand up after all these years.
Don't forget to subscribe to Admit One on iTunes for more movie memories from my stellar lineup of guests.
Admit One with Antonia O'Brien is an Audioboom production. Subscribe to the series on iTunes or via the Audioboom app.